Hi, everyone. Welcome to What's the Hook with Diane and Andy. Boy, oh boy, what a week. What a week. I think it's only been a week, Andy, but it feels longer than a week.
Yes, there's just so much happening in this world right now.
It's like an onslaught. Yeah. It is, but it's August 1st. We're coming to you August 1st from beautiful downtown Hollywood. It's Leo season, baby.
Oh, yeah.
And I am a Leo.
Oh, yeah, you are.
I am a Leo.
Oh, it's almost your birthday.
It is almost my birthday.
Next week.
August 8th, baby.
Next Friday.
8-8. 8-8. And it's all happening. What can I say? As Cameron Crowe. Oh, it's all happening. So, ooh, gotta get him on the pod. Anyway, sorry. I digress. I guess today's big news was announced just a little earlier today. Michael Patrick King put out an announcement that this season of And Just Like That, the third season of it, is going to be the final season. There are two episodes left to air, and it has become all the rage to hate watch the show this season, because there have been so many egregious things that were in the show this season. Andy, what was your first reaction when you heard the news?
Someone unkind might say they're putting the show out of its misery. I would say...
What would you say?
I actually am sad about it. I'm really sad about it, I think, on multiple levels. On the first level, I actually really looked forward to watching this show every week.
I did too.
I pretty much watched it the night it came out, Thursday nights, you know, week to week. So I'm sad that I won't have that to look forward to, but I'm just also sad about what they did to some of these characters and just how uneven and clunky the writing was a lot of the time.
And out of character.
So out of character. And it would just be like wild swings, like from scene to scene. Like, honestly, the first couple of, like, there was last night's episode, Miranda and Steve were together with Brady. And for like a brief, quick minute, I'm like, oh, we're back to normal. Miranda's beaming. Like, this looks like who she
is.
Like,
who she is.
She's not just this ball of like anxiety that she's become in this show. But then they quickly veer into like Steve yelling and screaming about the son getting a girl pregnant. And it's like, it's like they've never ever heard of this happening before. And I'm like, you guys, it's not the 1950s. Although I get they're upset, but it's like, what is the point of having just all this yelling?
And also, the fact that Miranda actually tries to go undercover to talk to the girl. First of all, Miranda would never do that. Miranda would just go in there and say, hi, I'm Brady's mom.
That's true.
I'm your hookup's mom.
Yes.
And I'm just concerned about the baby. Could you tell me, is it his? You know, we just need to know.
Yeah.
Because Miranda's an attorney.
And how can I help? How can I help?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
To make this not a disaster for everyone.
Do you need help? Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And what kills me is that Michael Patrick King is the guy who helped build these characters.
Right.
We're talking about the man who was a primary architect of this show. I mean, yes, all props to Darren Star. It was his show that he created.
Yeah.
But Michael Patrick King was the showrunner for so many years, and he was basically like the caretaker, you know, of the legacy. I think what made me sad, I agree with you on what makes you sad. What makes me sad is kind of like Sex and the City. It's not going out on a high note. Ooh. I know a lot of people like that Carrie got together with Big, but honestly, we all know their history.
Yeah.
And was he the best guy for her? I don't know. I mean,
I was team Big.
It was a very romantic end.
Yeah.
In Paris. You know, and they go back and he's moving back to New York. And but
then they had to do the movies.
Well, yeah, the movies. And see, this is the thing. And I think when you have these women that, you know, they don't have to be perfect. What we love about them is that they're not perfect. And I just feel like now I don't know what I have not seen the final two episodes. I have no idea if they're going to send out screeners. I don't know.
Okay.
But I really hope that they try to redeem this.
Yeah.
Because this season so far, I think the only bright spot for me was when Carrie actually kind of stepped up and kissed Duncan and they spent the night together.
Can I just say there were some scenes in this episode that like gave me those old kind of butterfly feelings about this
show?
And
which scenes were those?
It was her going to the party. After. So I thought the chemistry between her and Duncan, once they finally let it be unleashed, was like really good. I was like, oh yes, I like this.
Because she's been so uptight.
There's been this fake, like, you know, barrier of having stupid Aiden around, like just to ruin everything.
Exactly.
Not fake barrier, whatever. Yeah. And so like once that was finally gone and the two of them could actually flirt, I was like, oh damn, this is like chemistry. And then the scene of her walking into the party.
Oh.
And
in the Vivian Westwood,
his coworker slash ex-wife, which who we learn is also his ex-wife
editor.
Or his editor. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Like saying, oh, Carrie Bradshaw's here. I wanted her to come to a party.
What
is she wearing?
That's what I love.
I've been trying to get her to come to these parties for years. It was corny, but it was like so wonderful. And watching her waltz in and look powerful. I was like, this is what I remember from Sex and the City. It was optimistic and it was exciting and it was hopeful. And yes, they threw all kinds of challenges at the characters, but it wasn't about them like having this enormous amount of like self-doubt or bad decision making or lack of obvious communication that could solve every problem, which I felt like they kept doing, you know, like one conversation could clear everything up, but then they don't do it.
And that was the beauty of Sex and the City, was they always had those conversations.
Yeah.
And sometimes they didn't turn out so well.
And they'd sit around, they would have the scenes of you know, them sitting around a table hashing things out. Which is what we loved.
And
the different opinions come together and then things like, but they just don't ever seem, they have not seemed to do that with this
series. We had
series.
A lot less of them.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. We had a lot less of them. We would see, like at the end of last week's episode, I think we saw Carrie go to dinner and
yes.
meet up with them, but we didn't get any of their
Which
conversation.
Which was a lovely way to end that episode.
She so many episodes ended that way.
She breaks up with Aiden and then sits down with the girls
and
to
in the
like
old
hash
days,
it out.
In the old days, we would have gotten that
we
scene.
We would have gotten them actually hashing it out. You're right. Being supportive, like helping them, you know, and the audience have perspective on what just went on. And I just don't understand why they couldn't do that. And then, you know, poor lovely Kristen Davis as Charlotte, like having to be stricken with this goofy like
vertigo
where she's falling over all the time. Like it was kind of funny. Like I mean, she's good. She made it work.
It's a one trick pony joke.
Yeah.
However, let's give a shout out to Susie Essman for
being revealed as the
on-screen energy therapist.
I meant to text you about that because I just love her so much.
Who doesn't love Susie Essman?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a really nice little scene. That was a nice little emotional scene.
It was.
And Charlotte needed that.
Some humanity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me turn on my screen and actually talk to you because I understand you're going through a hard time, even though you came across as kind of a neurotic, rich, you know, entitled.
Upper East Side lady. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the whole LTW story, don't care. I know.
I want to care because I think she's wonderful. And I think the husband.
She is, but it was a waste of time.
There's just nothing going on. And we didn't even get Macaud Brooks, the hot editor, in this episode, I don't think.
An affair would have been nice.
Nothing's supposed to be happening with them, I guess.
But may I say, alternately, I love Seema.
I was going to say.
Seema and Adam.
That storyline works for me. I really like it. And there was a generosity of kind of spirit within the writing when she accidentally knocks the plant whose mother out of the window. And I'm like, oh God, here we go. They're going to have this huge conflict. And I was like, because that's what I expect from this show, is that they're going to have like some stupid conflict about nothing. Like a plant. And then it wasn't. He said that's not that he was just forgiving. We moved on. It was generous. It was like kind.
Well, and also just the beauty of her finding a guy that she wouldn't think she'd be with.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, when he brings all the plants to the office and she says, are these self-watering because I can't take care of it? And he says, well, you know, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
And it was a really lovely thing. Those are the kinds of things where I went, oh, see, no, that I love.
Yeah.
And also the fact that even as you get older, you can like some things that are different.
Yeah.
Because one of the notes about Seema's character was that she will self-sabotage herself.
Okay.
In relationships. And she had that scene with Carrie where they were having drinks and she said, oh, the mother thing, mommy issues. And that's what will, that's what'll put the kibosh on this. And it didn't. Which is really cool.
Yeah.
And also just, wow, Logan Marshall Green.
Woo! Yeah.
Woo! I'm not even going to go to the obvious of that. He plays a guy named Adam and he's a gardener.
I mean, I was like,
how much more biblical can we get?
I think I was like just as taken with his apartment. I'm like, oh my God, this is
that was one of the funniest lines, by the way, which he says, how much do you pay? And he says, you don't want to know. Yeah. He says 900 because you motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, that's a $20,000 a month apartment.
Oh, easily. Basically. Easily. But I love how he's going, oh, it's an artist residence. And yeah, my mother yeah. was this. Oh, that was great. That
it's,
whole run was
rent control.
Just yeah. great. Yeah. Well, look, big respect for Michael Patrick King and the rest of the writers, because, oh my God, the ups and mostly downs of this season.
yeah.
And I still have respect. And the thing is, he's going to go make the final season of The Comeback. And part All of me right. is like, okay, I need you to really conserve your energy.
Yes.
And not fuck it up.
Yeah.
I need, because Valerie Cherish.
The good thing with that is he doesn't have to run five or six competing main characters. You know, like this show had like...
Well, we don't know what Valerie's going to be up to.
Five main characters with the women yeah. plus the Anthony yeah. storylines. And so, you know, that might have been just a little too much to juggle. So, yeah.
I would agree with like, that, yes, actually.
Please, sir.
It's a great point.
Yeah, focus on Valerie Cherish.
And, I have so many questions. Yeah. Will Marky Mark be back? Love Ball?
Marky Mark.
I have so many questions because I'm just dying to see where Val is now. I'm really hoping that Malin Ackerman as Juna will also somehow make an appearance, because Malin Ackerman, who's just the toast of everything because of the Hunting Wives.
Where have they been hiding her? I feel like she has not been in enough stuff
not
lately.
True.
Well, I haven't seen
She's
her in anything
been in
lately.
Sitcoms.
Has she?
I want to say she was in Trophy Wife, which was a short-lived ABC sitcom. And
no, I loved that. That's the last thing I remember watching her in, and that was a few
and the
years
comeback.
Ago.
And the comeback.
Well, of course, the comeback, but like that's 10 years ago. Like,
no, she's. Been, I think she's been doing.
I'm
other stuff.
Okay. I hope so, but I just like watching her in Hunting Wives. She is so good.
Can I just mention to you, I forgot to show you the video from Jimmy Fallon's show. I think it was last night, but he and one of the guys from The Roots, the guy from The Roots starts talking about Jerome Powell and the Fed, but it morphs into, he makes a metaphor to the Hunting Wives.
Oh my
and
God.
He and Jimmy get into it about the Hunting Wives and about Margot versus Sophie. And honest to God,
oh
it's
God.
One of the funniest runs. Ah. It's so good. And I was like, this is great. I love when stuff like that breaks through. So very, very fun. I'm going to show that to you.
Okay.
Later.
Okay.
What else can I tell you in like business news? The FCC approved the Paramount merger. So all I can say from that is that
best of luck to all involved.
More people are going to lose their jobs. And that makes me insane. And I don't just mean like Stephen Colbert. I mean, I'm sad about that. Let me tell you. Also, I don't know if you saw the news, but Warner Brothers Discovery is going to break into two parts. They messed it up. They put them together and now they're going to break them apart. It's going to be Warner Brothers and it's going to be Discovery Global.
Just like it was before.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this was a really, really great experiment. Thanks so much.
No, you have not gone back in time. They're just doing this.
We're back to HBO Max and two separate companies.
Exactly.
Yeah, doing what they do. And yeah, it's interesting. And I'm glad they finally acknowledged that putting, you know, kind of, I'm going to say it, lowbrow reality content, cheap reality content from Discovery together with generally highbrow, or at least like more whatever.
Better scripted content.
Better scripted, higher end content together did not equal
Look
Netflix.
At you. Never the twain shall meet.
Never the twain shall
meet. Andy's a purist. Who knew? Who knew Andy's a purist? San Diego Comic-Con came and went. It was last weekend. I did not go to Comic-Con because too much. 200,000 people all in San
Diego.
Crammed
into
San Diego.
Have you
I
been
did.
Before?
I covered it a few times.
Okay, yeah.
And I got to tell you, Andy, I'm too old for it.
Oh, gosh. I've never been, and I don't
I mean,
go.
I was
that
glad
insane.
That the temperatures were lower, because
uh-huh.
when it's hot, it is a beast.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just too close for me now.
Okay, yeah.
And I would not do well with that.
It's a lot of people.
And then also, when I covered it, unless you have literally, like, the lightest computer possible, It's hard to go cover it because you are just running around nonstop.
Okay.
And it's meant to be a fan convention still after all these years. It is not a press-friendly convention, nor is the San Diego Convention Hall updated.
Oh.
You know what press really need? Electricity.
Yeah, that always helps when you can actually charge your device.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I learned that the hard way. Anyhow. But of course, I'm sure, you know, if you're at all online, lots of trailers for shows and, you know, everybody takes their shows or their movies there if possible. You know, the Entertainment Weekly party is still a hot ticket there. It seems the superhero movies are doing pretty well. I guess Superman's doing well. Fantastic Four, I think, is doing well.
I think so. It did really well. Yeah.
But I think both of those are...
No, they're happy with it.
The big movie news that I was excited about is that there's a rumor that Jeremy Strong may be signing on to the Social Network sequel to play Mark Zuckerberg.
Ooh, yeah.
How much do I want to see that?
Oh, heck yeah.
Because Andy knows I'm just a big Jeremy Strong fan.
You are. Yeah.
And I think he would really kind of bring that Darth Vader vibe to Zuckerberg that he deserves. Because he's awful.
Those vacant eyes.
Yeah. The dead eyes. Exactly. Oh, and Andy, did you watch Kamala Harris on Colbert last night?
No, I didn't.
One, it was nice to see her. The first thing Stephen Colbert says, so sweet, he says, "You look rested."
Oh, good.
And then he asked how Doug was doing.
It.
How Dougie was doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then he, you know, asked her about her announcement not to run for governor of California. And if she had another race in mind, I think, meaning 2028, and she, like, said
no. Well, I did read that she said that she feels like the system is broken.
Yes.
And she's not looking, I don't know, you know, I don't know if she's saying this permanently ever, she never wants to run, or just she's not super interested in doing it.
Right now, she's
not.
Yeah. I think she's interested in using her power in other ways.
Honestly,
I don't blame her.
I don't blame her either. Being a private citizen with some money and some clout, she can do a lot.
I also think for her to go back into the political arena right now, the misogyny and racism is worse than it's ever been.
Yes.
And the things that they said about her when she ran as VP with Joe Biden and then when she stepped in to replace Biden, it's horrific.
Yeah.
You shouldn't treat any person like that. If you don't like them, don't vote for them.
Right.
The things she was called, the way she was referred to. I mean, look, we're living in a time of vulgarity that's coming right from the White House and the people working in it. And it is, I hate to use it, I'm going to quote Hillary Clinton, it's deplorable.
Yeah.
That is not the way you conduct yourselves. It's just not the way people conduct themselves, civil people. Let's all just be civil. You know, even if you don't, like I said, you don't like someone, don't vote for them. And if you don't like a product, don't buy it. You vote at the booth and you vote with your wallet. But
yeah, I still like to think that the vast majority of people that run for public office, you know, have the best interests of the people in mind. And unfortunately, there's just these exceptions, including one at the top, who that's absolutely not what he has.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of
poisoning the well for so many other people and bringing more of his kind into the...
Well, the grifting kind.
The grifting kind, yeah.
And
yeah.
That is not...
Unqualified. Yeah,
it,
anyway,
the last thing, last thing he cares about are people. Anyway, let's see what else. I have to say... I'm sure if anyone is watching Bravo at all, nonstop promos for the Culture Awards with Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they've made some very funny promos for it. They have entered the highest sphere. They had Michelle Obama on Las Culturistas, and then they went on her podcast.
Oh, cool.
And it was like, okay, you're done. You're done. How much higher do you get? I don't know. Let's see, Andy, what else have we been watching besides The Hunting Wives and just eating it up?
Loving Hunting Wives. I think we've both been watching Leanne.
Yes, we have. I've watched the first couple of episodes. I was aware of Leanne Morgan. She's a very successful stand-up. And I do love watching a woman of a certain age.
Yeah, and I do too.
And this is from The House of Chuck Lorre. It just dropped on Netflix yesterday. And it's Leanne Morgan and Kristen Johnston. How great is it to see Kristen Johnston
back
on TV?
I love the two of them together. And I was not familiar with Leanne Morgan at all, I don't
really?
Think. Yeah, I don't
okay.
think I had heard of her. So I love this. It's a, you know, it's a true sitcom with a
very
either a studio audience or a laugh track. Probably a studio audience, you think?
It is a studio audience.
It's an actual studio audience. Okay.
I'm sure it's sweetened, as we say in the business.
So I go, but, I go in it with a lot of like trepidation because typically I'm not into that.
You're not into the multicam?
The multicam format.
Okay.
Any longer, but I really, really have enjoyed this. I think I'm at least 9 or 10 episodes in.
Oh, that's farther than me.
They're quick. You know, a lot of them are only like 20, 22 minutes. So
yeah.
it's an easy watch. There's sweet chemistry between those two leads, the sisters.
Yeah.
You know, it starts out with her husband leaving the Leanne character.
The husband, who's played by Ryan Stiles. So if you were a fan of Whose Line Is It Anyway, just a genius improv actor and comedy and just a good actor in general. But yes, after 30 years, he finds another woman and he splits from Leanne.
Yeah, yeah. And she's got to, you know, make her way through life. And it's just an extremely charming, sweet natured show. And there is a need for that in my world, at least.
I feel like it's definitely a respite from a lot of the, you know, dead girl investigator stories.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some of the really dark dystopian stories that are so popular right now, which I'm not a fan of either.
Which I tend to love, but need a break from occasionally. Yeah.
Right. I will say, if you watch Leanne, I don't think the writing is especially sharp or funny, but it is. It is a very gentle comedy, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. And also just seeing Leanne Morgan and Kristen Johnston, you know, Kristen Johnston is quite the pro. Leanne has never acted before. She's only done stand-up.
Okay.
And I think you can tell with this, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Because I think with Kristen, it's like playing tennis with someone who's better than you.
Yeah.
You get better.
That makes sense.
So I've only watched like the first three. So I will be watching more.
I saw somebody described it as a good hang. And I feel like that sums it up. It's just a nice place to spend time.
Okay. What else you've been watching?
Well, I've been watching old stuff. I am almost done with my rewatch of Girls.
Oh.
And I got to tell you, for me, that show holds up 100%. I have absolutely been immersed in it. I think Lena Dunham is so brilliant and also a really good actress, like very, very good.
I would agree with that.
And God, she pushed so many boundaries. And I mean, she is literally naked in like every other episode for 6 seasons, which I did not remember. But like, anyway, just... I've really loved it. So I started watching that after Too Much came out, her new show with Meg Stalter. I just was like, I need to go watch Girls again. So anyway, I've been having a great time watching that.
And if you haven't watched Too Much on Netflix, Meg Stalter and Will Sharp are very offbeat and charming in it. And it's very much a Lena Dunham show. It's not, you know, the path to love is never smooth. But Meg Stalter, who just... has the most antic and unexpected like sense of humor. It's one of the things that's great about her. And if you watch Hacks, you already know that.
It's kind of like Lena Dunham walked so Meg Stalter could run.
There you
know?
You go.
Like, yeah.
That's, yeah. I think that, yes. Yes, yes, yes. So let's see. I think I talked about this last week, the Billy Joel documentary, And So It Goes. But I want to remind people, it's two parts. And I'm telling you, it is so worth your time. Because it's not just sort of like a chronography. It's not just his discography. It's very much about kind of how his ups and downs in life, you know, get chronicled in the music. And also, you know, a guy who's been married 4 times and has come out on the other end of it. He's got some health issues he's battling right now. But still, I think it's an amazing story. And again, I just want to stress in part one of it, I think it's his first wife who took over managing him. And let me tell you, that's a story in itself.
Ooh.
So I think it's absolutely terrific. And that is on HBO Max. It's called Billy Joel and So It Goes. I just started Washington Black on Hulu. I did watch Zarnagarg special on Hulu. She is an Indian comic. I like her, and I think the only note I would give her is don't laugh at your own jokes. She'll always chuckle after she tells a joke, and I'm always like, don't worry, honey, people will laugh.
Oh, that's funny.
She filmed it at like a small club, not in LA, somewhere else. But she's very funny, and just her commenting on her own culture, on Indian culture, she's just wonderful. And I know she's also doing a sitcom with Mindy Kaling, so I'm really curious to see
that.
I think that's going to be terrific. I think I also talked about the Stick season finale, which was just great. And they're going to do a second season, which I'm really glad of because I think that cast is very good. I think Marc Maron is absolutely essential to this show. So hoping that he'll be around for season 2. I have not, I have not started the fourth and final season of Acapulco, which is just kind of a sentimental favorite of mine. Especially the other thing I forgot, they always do the great pop songs in Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
And I always love that. So I'm expecting many, many, many great pop songs in Spanish in this final season. I am also just a big Eugenio Derbez fan, so I'm looking forward to that. I also haven't watched Happy Gilmore 2, and I just want to see it just for all of the star cameos. That's pretty much what I'm in it for.
I don't think I've ever seen Happy Gilmore 1.
Okay, so fair.
We'll not be watching Happy Gilmore 2.
Oh, Andy, you're watching Animal Kingdom.
Why
don't you tell the people?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, like... You know, I'd seen the original Animal Kingdom movie, which, I don't know, is at least a decade old. It's an Australian movie.
I think more than that.
Maybe more than that, with Jackie Weaver, and it was phenomenal, and I absolutely loved it. It was about a surf gang that's in I think, Newcastle, Australia. And then I had never watched the series, which I think, was it a TNT series?
It was a TNT series, exactly.
I never got into it, and my friend has been begging me to watch it for, like, weeks, and finally I started it, and I am absolutely hooked. It is so freaking good.
Executive produced by friend of the pod, John Wells.
Oh, yeah.
From the House of Wells, which has spawned many, many, many great shows. And also, part of the cast, Sean Hattasey, plays a very dark character.
Yes.
He plays Pope. And
so
he
dark.
Was also in Southland, another fantastic John Wells show that was about cops and was more than your average cop show. It was a very good traumatic show. And Sean Hattasey, who I love, started a TikTok. He signed on to TikTok just to talk about Animal Kingdom. And yes, ostensibly about The Pit, because he's filming season two of The Pit now. And I have a feeling we're going to see more of The Night Shift in season two. That's just my gut talking.
I bet you're right. Yeah. We got him in like the beginning of the season and the end of the season.
Exactly.
For season one. Yeah.
Exactly. It was a good bookend.
Yeah.
He came back during the mass casualty event in season one.
Yes.
And we saw his combat medical training really come into play during that.
Yeah, totally.
So he goes on TikTok and he answers questions, but it's always about Animal Kingdom. He loves that there's a new audience discovering it on Netflix.
Well, that's a juicy role, too. I'm only a few episodes in.
Oh,
also, just massive
just wait.
Shout out to Ellen Barkin, who is everything I've ever seen her in. I freaking adore her. And she is just like at her peak of, I don't even know what, I mean, she's like
tough as nails,
ominous yet warm, like really just kind of like towing this line.
Everything you want in a mother, right, Andy?
Yeah, and a little bit more too. I'm like, oh god, some of this is really creepy, but the show's given me a lot to work with. I'm like really liking it.
And I just want to add a little Ellen Barkin note here. The first thing Ellen Barkin was ever in is a movie called Diner, Barry Levinson's movie, many, many, many years ago. And Jerry Weintraub, the producer, may he rest in peace. I think Jerry Weintraub was the one who advocated for Ellen Barkin. You can rent Diner pretty much anywhere for a few bucks. It's very, very well worth it. Of course, the ubiquitous Kevin Bacon is also in it. So many good actors. Steve Guttenberg, Paul Reiser is incredibly funny in it. Mickey Rourke. I mean, you're going to just turn on Diner and go, oh, I know that guy. Oh, I know that guy. Oh, I know that guy.
That.
So many familiar faces. It's one of my favorite movies, and it is... I know so many of the lines from it. It's scary.
I discovered her in the 1991 film Switch with Jimmy Smits. Have you ever seen that?
I have not.
I was way too young to be watching that movie when it came out because it is real raunchy. The two of them, like, he plays like a womanizer and she's kind of like the victim at the beginning. And then she, like, they switch roles and she becomes like this, you know, she's a woman, but she's like all bro-y and like, and it was shitty to everyone. And I was a kid watching it, and I never forgot it. I thought she was just absolutely brilliant in it.
Was she also in The Big Easy with Dennis Quaid?
Ooh.
Which was a very sexy movie, or am I
she
completely
was.
Wrong?
1986,
oh,
yes.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, I'm old.
Yeah. She was also in the very short-lived Ryan Murphy sitcom called, was it Normal People or The Normal...
Oh, the New Normal.
The New Normal, yes.
Was that the one with Andrew Rannells?
It was, yes.
And Justin Bartha.
Justin Bartha, yes, playing a gay couple and adopting a kid.
I forgot she was on that.
And she played the kind of, now we'd call her like kind of the MAGA mom, like, but she was so funny. She was so funny.
I could believe that.
Like, she played a real conservative, like, kind of jerk mom, but like, also just, I mean, she's good at that. She's got that edge.
I think you could give her anything and yeah. she'll make a meal of it.
Yeah.
That's just the kind of actress she is.
Yeah.
Project Runway is also back as of yesterday. It airs on Freeform, but if you don't have cable, because who does? You'll watch it on Hulu or Disney Plus. Heidi Klum is back, which everybody was happy about. And Nina Garcia, Christian Siriano is still mentoring and judging. And Law Roach. And let me tell you.
I love him.
Law Roach is just anywhere Law Roach shows up, worth watching. I liked the season opener. I've watched the first episode, but not the second. They dropped two episodes. So those are both now streaming. But it's a very good, flamboyant bunch of contestants. Some of them are too much, and you know that they'll, like, buy.
Yeah.
And then I always love the quiet ones, because you get some zingers from the quiet ones. And in this case, those are some of the women, so it's really great. But it's nice to have Project Runway back.
Yay.
Just nice to have a new season. Let's see what else. There was a new show on Hulu that premiered called Red Eye. It's six episodes, and it stars Jing Lucy Richard Armitage, who's a gorgeous British man, Leslie Sharp and Gemma Moore. And it's I think murder mystery, and I have not watched yet. So
usually,
it sounds like there's also a lot of action.
I'm usually up for a British, cop, you know, murder mystery thing. So I'm going to have to give it a watch.
Very nice.
Next week we get to watch the new season of Wednesday.
You like that.
I like that a lot.
I think it's a visually gorgeous show.
Yeah, we've both watched ahead a little bit, and we're both very excited about this season. So I can't wait till we get to, like, really dig into it.
If you're on the socials at all, they're doing a massive world tour. I mean, this is just everywhere. They were in London. I think they're just hitting all of the big main stops. I think that and Freaky Friday has been over my Freakier Friday. Sorry.
The new Naked Gun.
Yes.
I've been reading and hearing so much about that. I can't wait to see that.
The love story of the summer. Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson.
Who would have thought?
But I love
it. It's beautiful.
Like, for both of them, yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
And I look at Pamela Anderson, for one who's had this beautiful sort of renaissance.
Yeah.
You know, work-wise and everything. And I just think from Tommy Lee to Liam Neeson. Ladies, it's the dream. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And Liam Neeson, everybody just seems to love him.
Yeah.
So
the movie's getting great reviews. So
oh yeah.
I'm really
because
looking
it's
forward to that.
Who is one of the Lonely Island one guys of, directed it.
Yep.
And then
Akiva.
Thank you, Akiva. Not Akiva. Akiva Schaffer.
Yeah.
Akiva Schaffer. So yeah, it's it looks like it is shtick filled, and I love
like
that
a good
of
time.
Stuff. Also in August, anyway, second season of Wednesday drops. The first part drops August 6th, and then they're splitting it in two, and then the second part drops September 3rd. Let's see. Andy and I are also excited about season two of Platonic coming to Apple TV Plus on August 6th. This is the show by Nick Stoller and Francesca Del Banco, and it stars Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne as just two grown-ups who are friends.
Just the best.
And they are so good together.
Season of this. They are both so good and so funny. Yeah.
And I think, you know, give me as much Seth Rogen as possible.
Yeah, and I'm that way with Rose Byrne, too.
Yeah, I mean, she's pretty wonderful.
She's like an all-purpose, just throw her in and, you know, like, she's always good.
And, hottie Luke McFarland plays her husband.
Oh no! Oh yeah, that's right.
I
oh yeah.
About that.
Oh gosh.
Also, this season, guest stars include Adi Bryant, Kyle Mooney, and Beck Bennett. Some SNL folks.
Adi Bryant has the cutest, like, short, small role in Girls, where she plays Shoshana's
boss when she sends her to Japan.
To Japan, and that little freaking side trip for Shoshana is like the cutest thing ever. And Adi Bryant playing the HR woman. Is just adorable.
Oh, I love Shosh. Yeah. I loved Shosh in Japan.
Yeah, what a character.
Oh, she's just great. Premiering August 7th on FX and FXX and Hulu. Oh, and I'm not sure how to say this word. Nekaha. Eva Longoria is an executive producer, and she sets out to reignite the soul of one of Mexico's oldest and most storied football clubs.
Ooh.
And she enlists the help of Rob Mack and Ryan Reynolds. Because of what they've done to rejuvenate Wrexham AFC. So if you want another good sports doc from these folks, that's August 7th. August 8th, Outlander, Blood of My Blood, premieres on Stars, and it is a prequel series to Outlander. I have to say, the many years of Outlander, there was some great stuff in it, but I think I am done with my Outlander stuff.
I fell off the last couple of seasons, I think. Yeah, I did see.
I didn't watch all of it either.
I haven't, but I loved it for a long time. I did see a rave review of this offshoot of Blood of My Blood, so I may check it out.
It stars Tony Curran as Simon Fraser, Lord Lovett, Seamus MacLean Ross as Colin McKenzie, Sam Redford as Dougal McKenzie, Rory Alexander as Murtaugh Fitzgibbons Fraser, and Connor McNeil as Ned Gowan. So anyway, you know, that's for the Outlander folks. You know, I'm sure Diana Gabaldon is reaping even more royalties from this. So God bless. And then the big one for me, August 12th, is the premiere of the two-episode premiere of Alien Earth, which is on FX and Hulu. And this is from Noah Hawley, who is now kind of getting in on the Alien franchise. I have seen the first episode, and I know there's an embargo, so all I'm going to tell you is you're going to want to watch this.
Oh my gosh.
Noah Hawley's brilliant.
Yeah.
And he has such respect for material. And there is a stellar cast. Sydney Chandler, Tim Oliphant, who else? Alex Lawther, Samuel Blenken. It's a very, very, very strong cast. So that's it. We're going to talk more about that closer to the premiere or post-premiere. That is August 12th, FX and Hulu, Alien Earth. That's what I've got right now. August tends to be a touch slower, but who knows? Who knows? There's a glut of unscripted programming. So you'll see if you watch any unscripted on Netflix or anything like that, they're going to be showing you a lot of new shows like Perfect Match is coming back. And Peacock's got, you know, Beyond the Villa, Love Island Beyond the Villa. There's just a ton of it. Peacock's also got a new season of Twisted Metal, a show I did not watch in its first season. That's starring Anthony Mackie. So I used to think summer is off cycle, but no, summer is now unscripted heaven.
Yeah.
So if you are into unscripted shows, we should do a rundown of that. I'll do that for the next episode or something.
I have a feeling you're going to get me to watch some unscripted.
I might have to drag you kicking and screaming. Maybe just one or two.
Yeah.
Maybe just one or two.
I'm open.
We'll choose it carefully. Yeah.
I watch the most random unscripted things that are not like even, you know, they're so niche that like we don't usually even talk about them. But I'm gonna try for you, Diane.
I told Andy that he had to watch Untamed, which is the new series on Netflix with Eric Bana.
Oh, yeah.
Because I watched the opening 5 minutes and Eric Bana was so hot. I thought my TV was going to melt. Eric Bana's like in his 50s and woo. Anyway, unfortunately, it's another dead girl mystery show.
Hmm.
I wish it wasn't because I think there are a lot more interesting things to explore.
Yeah.
But he plays like a special investigator and there's some gorgeous scenery. I forget where it's set, but it's beautiful, beautiful scenery. Anyway, we'll find some other interesting things and some good unscripted shows to recommend for next week. I hope everybody is paying attention to the Emmy nominees and maybe catching up on some of the very worthy Emmy nominated shows. I hope you've all watched The Bear because I thought season 4 was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And I hope everyone's watched the 4 seasons because I have a very good interview for you today with two of the executive producers and showrunners, Tracy Wigfield and Lang Fisher. They ran the show with Tina Fey. Yes, a triumvirate of incredibly smart, funny women running a TV show. Who thought it could happen? Only in America. Anyway, I had a really nice chat with Tracy and Lang. So we're going to have that for you right now. And we will talk to you soon. Hi, everyone. Welcome to What's the Hook. I have not one, but two very special guests with me today. In my ongoing endeavor to bring smart, funny women to the pod, Tracy Wigfield and Lang Fisher are here with me. And if you love comedy, you already know who they are. If you've watched 30 Rock, The Mindy Project, Great News, Never Have I Ever, and the newest iteration of the Four Seasons on Netflix. You know who they are. They were running the show with Tina Fey on the Four Seasons. Tracy Lang, welcome to the pod. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
I guess my first question is, I was very excited when I saw the announcement about the project. And Lang, I think I spoke to you at like a Universal FYC party like over a year ago about it. And just, I am old enough to remember the original movie. What attracted you both to this, besides the fact that you were going to work with Tina, you know, again, and working on it? What else attracted you to the material?
Well, I think when Tracy and I and Tina were all trying to figure out what we wanted to work on together, we wanted to try something with a different tone. And she kept bringing up the movie, which is one of her favorite movies. And I think what was exciting about it was the format. You know, Tracy and I hadn't seen it before. And so we went and watched it. And it's fun because it's, you know, these best friends, three couples who have known each other for decades, and you only see them on vacation. And it's, you know, these four trips throughout the year in the four different seasons. And it just felt like a fun challenge. And the tone felt like a fun challenge too. You know, it's very grounded and about real life relationships. And I think we all kind of felt like this was the right next step for us.
Tracy, how about you? Same feeling.
Same thing. Everything that Lang said. Ditto. Yeah, I was really excited about writing something with Lang and with Tina, and we all have worked together a lot over the years. Like Tina gave me my first job writing in TV, and I've worked for her, and she was a producer on that NBC show I did, but I'd never created something with her, and I've never created something with Lang either. So it was like just a fun kind of like collaborative opportunity. And I think what Lang was saying, we all were excited about the idea of doing something that was a little more grounded. And the movie seemed like it was dealing with a lot of the themes also that we were interested in writing about.
There are so many things that I loved about the series. For one, I love the characters and just spending time with them, which is always the most important thing. But also that it's just adult, and it's about things that happen as you get older and as your life is changing and as, you know, you change or evolve as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I felt the writing was just terrific. And I was super happy to see Coleman Domingo get that Emmy nomination.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I was rooting for all the writers because this is just, it's a beautifully written series. And I've rewatched it. I burned through the screener so quickly that I wound up rewatching it when it dropped on Netflix.
Thank you.
Wow.
You know, and it's just beautifully written. So can you talk about the beauty of this ensemble cast and how it really complemented and enhanced your writing?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the reasons the original movie was so popular is it combined all of these people that were everyone's favorite actors into one group. You know, it's Carol Burnett is married to Alan Alda, and, you know, Rita Moreno is there. And, you know, it's just this really cool ensemble. And we kind of wanted to make, you know, the current day version of that. We're like, who are your favorite comedy actors? And could we make them a group of friends? And we chose people who are all wonderful people in real life. And it was very easy, I think, for them to, you know, become friends on screen because they either were already friends in real life or they became fast friends, you know, while we were shooting the project. And I think that added so much to it. It's just like these people who are so skilled and charming and delightful and just really talented, all kind of working together. And it was just like a wonderful experience shooting with them because it did kind of feel like we were on vacation together.
I have to tell you that I knew Carrie Kinney Silver was very funny just from like Reno 911, other things she's been in. But I I was so surprised by just kind of the beautiful emotion of her performance.
Yeah.
Tracy, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, she was such a surprise to us too. Like, she came in to read for the part, and I loved The State when I was a kid, and I've always loved her and everything. But she did, I think in her audition, one of the scenes she did was like that scene in the beginning of one of the summer episodes where she gets caught on the vacation, and she had come down there and was not really with a plan, and felt really crazy and embarrassed that she got caught. And it was just so like good and emotional. And she brought such like a depth to things. But I really think like for all of the actors, they elevate the material because they're also just like so precise comedically. Like, they're all really funny. And that also, I think, helps with why they have such great chemistry, because like funny people, I don't know, all speak the same language or something. Like, it wasn't like we had like five funny people and then some like hot actress who isn't funny. Like, everyone kind of, you know, seemed like they were the same kind of comedy folks.
I would agree. And I think it's like everybody just sort of came to play, and they were just ready. It's like, I feel like they all did their homework.
Yeah.
They all knew what they were walking into. So they were ready to play, you know, on camera, which is a great thing. And it really shows on camera.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, really good on screen. We have to talk a little bit about Alan Alda coming in for that lovely appearance there. And can you just talk about that day on set when he came to shoot that?
Yeah, it was really nice. He and his wife both came, and you know, Tina has a relationship with him because he had been on 30 Rock and they knew each other, and obviously we got his blessing to do this.
Yes.
And so she had kind of, in an email going back and forth, had kind of floated like, and of course you'll be in it, right? And he was like, you just call me whenever you need, that he was really game. And then, you know, I mean, it was so cool for everyone to meet him, because obviously we were big fans, but he's such a like comedy icon that
every
member of the crew knows. And he was so nice that he just like took pictures with everyone. Like, there was a line, like it was Mickey Mouse, that everyone took a picture with him, and he stayed the whole time. His wife was in Video Village, like watching him, being like, oh, he's doing a good job. Like, it was really sweet. And he also talked a little bit with us about like when they made their movie, and you know, and what a kind of you know, traveling group of friends that experience was as well, where they, you know, they filmed in four locations and kind of went down the coast as the, is that right, Ling? As the like seasons were changing.
Yeah.
And we got to, Lang and Tina and I got to go to a screening in New York of the original movie that he came to. And it was really nice to get to watch him watching this movie that he made and was so personal to him, and had all his like friends, some of who are no longer with us, all his friends in it, that it was really moving and sweet to see.
Lang, what was your reaction when you saw him on set?
I was not on set the day that he came to set. So I was in the writer's room. And so I missed the special day, but then I got to meet him at the screening, and I was sitting like right behind him as he was watching the movie. And I got to like watch his face as he was like delighted by the movie. And also, you know, at the screening, they were like, okay, you know, when you guys introduce the film, like, you're going to plug the show, introduce the film, you know, introduce Alan, he's just going to wave from his seat. And we're like, okay, and we did that. And then he got out of his seat and he walked up to the stage and gave an impromptu speech about like how touched and like proud he was that, you know, Tina had like chosen this project and that we were, you know, on board, and that we made this thing that he really loved. And it was so deeply moving. It was really nice.
That's one of the things I really love about talking to people who work in television or film. Even most, I talk to more people who work in television. That's my background, is the legacy of it. You know, 30 Rock is part of my comedy brain now, just like the Dick Van Dyke Show was, and, you know, the Mary Tyler Moore Show, you know, the Bob Newhart Show. All of that is part of my comedy brain, and things like the Four Seasons. Now that I'm older, like, I love when something speaks to me, even though I'm older, even though I'm not part of the main demo anymore. I'm not 18 to 49 anymore.
Yeah.
Because you sometimes start to feel forgotten or invisible.
Yeah.
Right.
I also love that we're seeing more stories about women as they get older.
Yeah.
They're not just, you know, it's not just something you throw away. We're valuable resources. And that's yet another thing that I love. Now, you guys are doing a second season. Is this correct? I just want to make sure.
We're in the writer's room right now. So we were just there 15 minutes ago.
Oh, this makes me very happy.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I thought of both of you because I saw Mindy Kaling at a Paley Center event recently.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, it makes me think of you guys as well, because just, you know, being the comedy meisters that you are.
Yeah,
and how was it for you comedy-wise? Because you've written some very broad comedy and then something like this, which is definitely less broad. So I was just wondering, you know, I'll let you speak for yourselves, but do you enjoy one more than the other? How are you feeling about that? And whoever wants to go first, go first.
I mean, for me, it's nice to like flex both of those muscles. Like, it's, you know, I think that our training over the years is to like pack as many jokes as you can into you know, one sentence of dialogue. You know, I think we've both worked on shows that are very joke dense, and that's very satisfying in one way. And this was like a real exercise in restraint. A lot of times, you know, we want, like, occasionally we'd be like, ooh, and then a weirdo comes in off screen who's like a clown or whatever, you know, like these like things that we'd have to be like, that doesn't happen in this world. And we still do that in every, I feel like once a day while we're rewriting scripts, we'll pitch a joke and it'll be like, not in this world. This is not.
And sometimes it's harder to tell too. Like the script we were writing 15 minutes ago. It's like, sometimes a joke will be like, oh, that's funny. But like, is it exactly right on this show? And like, you just have to be confident enough that like your stories are interesting and the scenes are interesting and it's comic premises that, you know, you don't need a bunch of written jokes, because in, you know, it, there's something that feels a little fake to it. And I, you know, as much as I love jokes, I do think one thing I've learned doing this is that audiences have responded to this so much. And some of it's on Netflix, but a lot of it is, I think we're tapping into relatable stories about real relationships and marriage and stuff. And it's like, it is hard to do that when the number one priority is just write the funniest, smartest joke all the time. Like, I think in all my writing, even, and I'm sure I will write network shows again and I will write harder comedy shows again, but it's like, I do think I've learned the lesson that it's like all of that needs to always take second place, I think, to character and story that feels human and real.
I was going to say another great thing about this, about the Four Seasons, is that the comedy is very organically sprung from the characters. And I'm telling you, I think Colman Domingo got that Emmy nomination for Bitch, Let Me Eat My Sandwich. So kudos.
So funny. Yeah.
To the room for that, just for that line, because I literally laughed out loud in my room when I heard that. I also, you know, I had to admire, you know, it's far enough along where I can say it was definitely a surprise to see Steve Carell's character exit.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe are you allowed to hint at anything for season two? Because part of me thinks, oh, maybe we'll get a flashback or two. Me as a viewer, I'm okay if that's not the case. If there's just a photo of him somewhere, I'm okay if, you know, I think this ensemble is very strong. no matter what. I feel like you could have some new interlocking pieces. There's enough funny to go around.
Right.
How are you tackling that in season two?
Well, I think you can be vague. It's the same group of people, and it takes place after season one. So, you know, their friend just died, so it's going to, influence not all of, but some of the, some of the journeys they're taking over the course of the season.
There's always a ripple effect after someone passes away
in
a group. And is it hard to write about grief when it comes to comedy?
Well, I think that, most comedy, there is always humor in the most, dire of circumstances. And, I think that this season, it's not all about grief. Like, we touch on grief, but it is, there is a thing that happens if, when you are middle-aged and, your first close friend dies and you're, you think about mortality and what is your life and are you living it to the fullest? And what is it you really want out of this life? And I think that's a thing that is really unique to middle age as well. Cause it's all right, well, the clock's ticking. What do I need to do to make sure I feel happy? And so I think we are trying to explore some of those themes that kind of come up when somebody passes. Nick is a big part of the season. We are only halfway through writing it, so we don't know exactly all the things that happen, but he because of his death, he looms large in the world.
I would figure, and I would also think, Will Forte's character has already been thinking about that in season one, just about what's going on and with his marriage to Tina's character. And I just have to say, I'm always happy to see Tina on screen. I think she's just, it kills me, what a fabulous actress she is, in addition to being, this great comic mind and writer. But boy, Will Forte, he's so good. Just so good. And, when people say they haven't seen, Last Man on Earth, or all they've seen is MacGruber, I'm like, oh, you have no idea what he's capable of. And so I'm so eager to see more of their story.
Yeah.
They both already had some questions.
Yeah. He really is. He's great. And he is able to be really funny, but still really real. And, and he feels like a real guy. And I think his character is a really nice foil for her. And, that was one of the challenges of this season that I think we're still figuring out. But last season was very much about they're in this hard year of their marriage. And so we didn't want that to be the case again, certainly. So, just kind of mining what are other things when you've been married for a really long time. And, this is their relationship dynamic that you would work your way through or whatever. But the two of them are really great together. And I feel like that couple more than even the others, I feel like I got the most feedback, personal feedback from people being oh, you've seen into my bedroom, my fight with my wife or whatever, that, that they're the most relatable maybe.
That's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
When people tell you that. What was this might be the last question. What was the hardest part about working on the series and the best part about working on it?
I feel like for me, the hardest part is because it's not a broad comedy. It's it does feel like a feat of engineering sometimes to be what is a relatable problem that is not crazy. And not because of wild external things. You're not running from a volcano. There's not a murderer on the loose. What is a thing that is an emotional issue that you may have with a close friend or your spouse that people will look at and see and be I see myself in that. And so that to me is the hardest. And then the best part of it is really like the all the people who work on it. I mean, it's been like a dream come true writing with Tracy and Tina. Like, I have had such a wonderful time. I mean, showrunning is so hard, and to do it with these two, and I'm so glad also it wasn't a disaster, because like that you like friendships like crumble sometimes when you run a show together. But like, it has been really like wonderful, and I think it has made me a better writer, and it, you know, and it's been just such a nice collaboration.
Yeah. Ugh. You stole my answers. Those were really good. I also, like, just on a practical level, the hardest part of it is just like figuring out how to shoot the seasons all in a row. Cause it's like, you can't, it seems like it should be easier than it is, but you obviously can't take a whole year to shoot. It's like you have,
right,
whatever, 8 weeks. So trying to like figure out like, and weighing like, okay, well, are we going to the beach in the winter? Or are we like, how do we get the trees to be exactly right if that's the one we have to shoot last? Right. It's like this weird, you like, there's these weird questions that come up that often are just solved with money and VFX, but you know, you're just weighing a lot of times, like, how can you make all of it good? How can none of the seasons suffer when they all have to be shot basically in the fall, you know, in like October and November. So that is like just a weirdly tricky thing that's baked into the premise of it, but you know, fine. But yeah. I have the same answer as Lang. Like, every show has its like difficulties. Like, we, you know, it is so nice to not have any, to not have any like actors that you're like, okay, and we have to like make sure for him that like we, you know, that we shoot the story first and then he'll tear it apart or whatever. There's none of that. Like, we really have been very blessed. Crew, cast, everyone is, and a lot of that I think is credit to Tina, that people want to do a good job for her and want to not think they're assholes. And so, you know, but ultimately, my answer is the same as Lang's. I like, it's so nice doing this. I never want to, like, it makes you never want to create a show alone again. Like, it's so nice to do it with other people, not just like the workload, but the kind of like worst parts of show running where you're like, oh, the story doesn't work, to just have people you completely trust to be able to bounce ideas off of and fix things with is like a blessing.
Well, I have to tell you, in closing, I'm just overjoyed to see three incredibly talented women running a show.
Thanks, Diane.
It's like, I wish I had seen stuff like that 20 years ago, because I've been a lifelong TV fan. Right. And I have watched plenty of your other shows. Yes, I watched Great News. Yes, I loved Great News. You know, and I'm a diehard 30 Rock fan and Mindy Project. And, you know, I'm thrilled for all of you. I can't wait to see season two. And just huge thanks for being here today. This was great.
Thank you. Thanks for having us,
Diane.